This is a, as I said, a long story, actually, a sweeping saga, a true story. And story of Paul's perilous voyage to on his way to Rome to be tried there. But it's also our story. Story of every believer. I know you read between the lines, could read the gospel story woven throughout this wonderful story. The whole story could be summed up in verse 22, where Paul stood up and said, "I exhort you, be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of life except the ship." The ship will be broken, but not you. And well, the last verse says they were all safe to land. They all came in safe to land. Now, this is a message of warning. The gospel's always, there's always words of warning, always reproof and rebuke. Paul said to all these people on board, "You should have listened to me." They got in a bad way. It's their own fault. And if you want to, you could turn to Psalm 107 and mark that, because it goes perfectly with this, and I'll be alluding to that throughout. But he said, "You should have listened to me. And now look at you. You're in all this trouble." But for their comfort, he said, but be of good cheer. All will be lost, but not your soul. You'll lose everything but your life. That's all right. Our Lord sounds just like what he said, didn't he? He said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." This is a real story, as I said, real story of real people in real trouble because of their sins and unbelief. But God, in great mercy, put a man in the midst of them. Save them. Verse 1, "It was determined that we should sail into Italy. And they delivered Paul, certain other prisoners, to Julius, a centurion of Augustus Caesar's band." This was a determinate will of God, is who it was. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof was of the Lord. Everything known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And Paul was made a prisoner. He was a prisoner for many years. And he said, "I'm a prisoner, not of Rome, but of Jesus Christ." In another place, he said, "The things that have fallen out unto me are for the furtherance of the gospel." And he was always content. He was always happy to be a prisoner. You think about that. Now, folks, he was in the bottom of this ship during this storm. And it wasn't pleasant. It's the worst place to be in a storm. If you ever been in a ship, you don't want to be in the dark bottom of that ship. Well, he was. Yet he was full of comfort, full of peace, and comforting others throughout this voyage. Now, Paul was put through suffering wrongfully. But it was a great mercy to the people on board that ship that he was there with. Paul's just a man. You know that? Paul's just a man. He's a sinful man. His words and his deeds were not infallible. There's only one infallible man ever lived. The words he wrote, the words the Lord wrote on paper were infallible. But everything Paul did and said is not infallible. Okay? He's a man. Nevertheless, the Lord put him in this boat with these people. And here's what makes him special. He's just a man. He's a man of God, sent by God with the Word of God. He's not infallible, but the message he brings is. And he tells them that you're all going to be saved. Paul is a type of Christ, yes. You've seen that throughout this story. He's a type of Christ. And we'll allude to that a little bit. But the greatest type of Christ in this story is what? The ship. The ship. Paul is a prisoner. Paul is like the rest of these people on board that ship. The reason he made it was the ship. Now he's put there with other prisoners, and I thought about, our Lord was made a prisoner, as it were, confined to a body, put in this present evil world in order to save us prisoners of hope. And we are captives, held captive by the law, held captive by Satan. We're guilty as charged. But God has sent us, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver these captives. And He sent us preachers. Sent us preachers. What a gift. What a gift. Just men, but men of God. And worth listening to. Verse 3, this Julius, the centurion, treated Paul courteously. We looked at this many years ago, how that the Lord put Paul in the hands of this Roman centurion. And this man treated him well and kept him from harm many times. It's just a Roman centurion. And I believe, John, I believe the Lord saved this man. Quite certain of it. But the fact is, everyone, even our enemies, whoever it may be, is in God's hands and are for us, for God's people. Do you believe that? It's so. Whether you believe it or not. This Aristarchus, verse 2. Now, people, I'm not going to go through every verse, so don't get frightened. Aristarchus, this is a blessing here. This man from Thessalonica, he's from the church at Thessalonica. Luke was constantly with Paul. You see, Paul came a great ways to preach the gospel to Thessalonica. He hazarded his life. He left his home, his family, all these things, and great sacrifice to bring the gospel to Thessalonica. And this man from Thessalonica, Aristarchus, said, if he's going to sacrifice his life for me and give his life for me, I'm going to support him with everything I've got. I'm going to be by his side. I'm not going to leave him. And he's with him. And Luke was too. Luke said, I'm with you, Paul. I'm with you. I'm right beside you. I'll go through what you go through. They were volunteers. And I bet you Luke was down in the hold of that ship with Paul. I bet you. And so was Aristarchus. Well, verse 2, it says he entered into a ship. They were put into a ship. And this whole story is them being in a ship. Now, the difference between a ship and a boat is this, for you landlubbers. A ship is an ocean-going vessel. Anything called a ship is seaworthy. It must be a ship in order to withstand heavy seas and high winds and boisterous seas and deep, heavy seas, high winds and waves. A little boat won't get it. It's got to be a heavy ship. And a heavy ship usually is a large ship with many rooms. In fact, on board this ship were 276 people. 20 tons of people, let alone cargo. This was a big, heavy ship, but it was able to bear them all. And our Lord is this ship. Is He not? Christ is our ark of safety. And it's no accident our English word uses this word, the fellowship of His suffering. Being fellows in one ship. If you're in Christ, if you're in the fellowship of the Father and His Son, fellowship of the gospel, of the mysteries, of His suffering. He is your life. If you've ever been on board a ship for any length of time, you are a prisoner to that ship. That ship is your life. It's not part of your life. It's not part of your life. It is your life. You can't go a day, you can't go an hour without thinking about that ship. You're in it, you live and move and have your being. And I've been in a ship. Dad was at sea for months. Brother Cody, at months. Not a part of your life, is it? It's your life. Your conversation is that ship. You serve that ship. Every day, all day. You wake up, you go to bed. The ship. Because if you make it to your destination, it's going to be for one reason. The ship. Now, people, Christ is all. He either is or isn't. And if we're in Him, He's our conversation. He's our hope. He's our life. He's our all. Our conversation, my. Verse 4 says, contrary winds came up. Now, there's no such thing in God's people's lives, contrary wind. We may think so. Like Jacob said, everything's been against me. No, Jacob. No, not at all. Now, this is a sailing ship. This is not a motorized ship. This is a sailing ship. As all ships were up until a few hundred years ago. Sailing ships. That means they're completely controlled by the wind. They were completely at the mercy of the wind. Now, who is likened to the wind in Scripture? Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God that bloweth where it listeth. You cannot tell the sound thereof, but God. God's people. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ who are what? Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Spirit of God. Leads His people where God purposes them. And some things seem contrary or against us, but they're not, people. They're all for us, all working together for a sovereign direction and purpose of God before the world began, and that is for all of God's people to reach safely home. And they go through all sorts of tempest and trials, up, down, north, east, but they're all going to make it by the Spirit of God. All right, verse 6 says they were put in another ship, and they came out of that ship. This ship didn't go really through any troubles or no peril. I thought about this. What's this represent? Well, you know, some of you were in false religion. You believed another Jesus, didn't you? And you really didn't go through any troubles or trials at that time. Pretty smooth sailing, wasn't it? But God's mercy, that religion wouldn't have taken you all the way. False religion won't take you to God. But God had to put you in Christ, in His church, where the gospel is, in Christ for the long haul. And you're going to sail through some heavy seas in order to reach the other shore. All of God's people do. If not, they're not in the ship. Verses 7 and 8, when we sailed slowly many days, scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind, not much wind. We sailed under Crete and hardly passing it came to this place called the Fair Havens. At first, they started out in this ship, the smooth sailing. Everything was pretty smooth sailing. They all probably thought, this is nice. Especially those landlubbers. This is nice. And they came to this place called the Fair Havens. It's still there today. It's an oasis, an island. And the Fair Havens, But people, that's not where they're stopping. And that's not where they're bound. That's not the haven that they're going to reach. But they were going through some smooth sailing and came to this fair haven. And God's people go through some fair times. Times, no, there's no storms. There's no trouble. And that's good, isn't it? That's good, isn't it? And it's also the mercy of God for a young believer not go through heavy seas at first, isn't it? God doesn't usually put a young believer through heavy trials and troubles at first. And so they, you know, everything is just wonderful. But it can't stay that way. Because faith is only tested in heavy seas, deep waters. The worth of that ship that you're trusting in is only known in deep waters. Isn't that what Psalm 107 says? They that go down to the sea in ships, not boats, ships, fellowships, they do business in great waters, deep waters. These see the works of the Lord. You don't see the works of the Lord in peaceful times, prosperous times. Oh, God's people do, but you know what I'm saying? The great mercies and grace of God, the wondrous salvation of our Lord is only seen in deep waters of trouble. And I bet you most of them wanted to stay in that fair haven. You reckon? You reckon they want to stay there? And people, if all went well for us in this world, we'd want to stay here, wouldn't we? We'd want to stay here. Carnal security is deadly. When they shall say peace and safety, our Lord said, then sudden destruction. And I could almost wish upon the church great trouble. Because the church has always thrived in great trouble. But it gets like Ephesus and Laodicea, and everything's just fine. I'm telling you the truth. And I, you know, a man of God is supposed to see things. These are perilous times, all right. Famine, not of bread, though. And the great peril that we're in is complacency. All right, then the sailing got dangerous. Verse 9, the sailing got dangerous. And much time went by, and then it began to get dangerous. Paul said in verse 10, sirs, he told them earlier, they were going by this Crete, this island of Crete, and said, we should stay here. The weather's getting rough. We need to stay here. But these men were determined to get where they were going, to go in the direction that they wanted to go. And Paul told them, you need to stay here. Don't go this way. Don't do this now, because it's going to be dangerous. He said, verse 10, I perceive this voyage will be to hurt and much damage, not just of the ship, but of our lives also, hurt and damage. And he warned them of great danger and that they needed to wait a while before going any further. My, we're looking at James, aren't we, about waiting and patience. Hardest thing in the world for us to do. Read on with me. Verses 11 through 14 says, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master, the captain, the owner of the ship, more than those things spoken by Paul. He didn't believe that place was commodious to winter in. And they all got together, the majority agreed, we'll go on. Verse 13, the wind blew softly and they thought, see, it's okay. And they all began to kind of laugh at this preacher. What does he know? We're sailors. No. We're sailors. Does this sound familiar? Like disciples. Well, teacher. We've been fishing all our lives. And they thought, what does this preacher know? And it looked like everything's just fine, but it didn't take long. Verse 14, and they were going a way that they thought was right. And up came the most fearsome trial and storm they'd ever been through. Now here's the point. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He said, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, those that God has given a people and God has given the truth to, and He's given sound judgment and discernment to. And we would do well to consult and listen to them rather than worldly experts. Who would you listen? Who should we listen to? The world, concerning the affairs of this world and things of this world, the wisdom of this world, the experts of this world, so-called wise of this world, or a man who's in communion with God, and a man who's studying and looking at God's Word at least 8 hours a day. The wisdom of God comes from above. Asking, pleading, looking, reading, studying the wisdom of God for discernment, how to lead, what to say, what to do. Who should we listen to? They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They didn't listen to Ezekiel. They said, oh, he has a good voice. It's just so. And God has not left Himself without a witness in His Word. I consult these men all the time. All the time. And if we're going in a certain direction, Paul warned, as all of God's people, God's preachers do, he warned them. He told young Timothy, preach the word, Timothy, instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, correct. Don't let no man despise your youth. They need it. I warned them. Paul said to the Ephesians, I cease not to warn you day and night with tears. And all of those who preach and read God's Word carefully, they see the warnings in His Word. Brother Chapman, I listened to him preach from this, and he spent about 15 minutes going through the Scriptures with all the warnings. All the warning. It's so full of warning. My pastor said many times, I've quoted, the Scriptures is full of warnings, lest we should presume. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin, secret sin, and yet promises lest we despair. And you set the one over against the other. We need them badly. Especially in peaceful time. Everything's going just fine. We're going this way, and it looks okay. Oh, no. And all whom God gives a people to, they warn the people of danger if they persist in certain things, persisting in going in a direction that's contrary to the truth, because that's the way they want to lead. And they think, people think no harm's going to come at this at first. But if you're one of God's people, a nor'easter's coming. And you're going to despair of your life. Great trouble. Hebrews 13 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. For they watch for your soul as they that must give an account. He told Ezekiel, if you fail to warn them, their blood's on your hands. And they may do it with joy, not with grief. This is unprofitable for you. Grief. So these men, they didn't listen to Paul. Didn't listen to him. They went away that seemed right to them. And boy, they got in deep waters. In verse 15, a ship was caught and couldn't bear up under the wind. In verse 13, they were running under a certain island. Did much work to come by the boat. That is, they were trying to get the lifeboat. They were trying to hold on to their lives now. And when they get in the depths of this storm, they're thinking, Well, read on. And they took up and they used helps undergirding the ship. They were doing everything to keep everything from falling apart. And now they're thinking. What do you think they're thinking? We sure wish we'd listen to him. And that's what Psalm 107 says, doesn't it? It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities. That's me. It's all of us. Are afflicted. Cruel, afflicted. Verse 17 in that verse 11 says they rebelled against the words of God. He brought them down with great labor. They cried in their distress. Oh my. Well, if we refuse to listen to God's word through God's man, continue in a way that seems right to us, if we're his people, he's going to raise a stormy wind and waves of trouble until we despair of our lives. But brethren, read on. And they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Verse 18. The next day they lightened the ship. The third day they began to cast out everything in that ship. Paul talked about riches that are kept by the owners thereof to their hurt. Our Lord said this, didn't he? Didn't our Lord warn of this constantly? Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth. Why? Because it's going to be a heavy burden. It's going to weigh you down. Riches are going to just weigh you down. People drowned in them. More people have fallen from riches. And now they get in trouble. And you know what they're doing with all this stuff? Tossing away. This is no good to us now. One thing needful in it. Salvation. They begin to toss overboard those things that they took delight in before. Verse 20. And neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No small tempest lay on us, and all hope was taken away. They didn't have any light. They were in darkness. Couldn't see any stars for direction. They didn't know which way to go. And they lost all hope of being saved. Ever been there? Every one of God's people have been there. Why? Because you didn't listen to them. You didn't listen. And you wonder if you're lost. And Paul hadn't been saying anything. It says, after long abstinence, verse 21, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. What do you reckon Paul and Silas and Aristarchus were doing in the midst of the storm? Now, they're going through it too. And they're in the helm of the ship. They're in the dark. They're in more trouble. They're as sick, perhaps, like everybody else. Okay. What do you reckon they're doing? They were doing what they were doing in Philippi, in that jail. Paul and Silas. They were praying. They were worshiping. They were singing. And they had peace. And they had comfort. And they had consolation. And they had hope. Their hope wasn't gone. Oh, no. They had hope. So Paul stood up in verse 21 and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. And not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm. We need rebukes, don't we? Don't we? Huh? But we sure need comforts. Verse 22, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I reckon he's smiling. Now, we can't enter into this, but we can't. But this was this storm in here. I mean, this sea, this boat, this ship is doing this, and the storm, and they've thrown everything overboard. And this thing is tossing up and down and all that. And Paul is probably holding on to the mast. And they're all drenched to the bone. It's cold. And the wind's blowing them. And Paul's smiling and crying out above that wind, be of good cheer. You see this? Don't worry. How can you say this, preacher? What a fool. Some of them are saying, you were the fool. No, he didn't say that either, did he? Be of good cheer. Read on. Oh, my. There shall be no loss of life among you. Whoever's on this ship is going to make it. And I didn't say that, he said. The angel of God came to me. Read on. The angel of God, whose I am, I belong to him. He came to me and said, Paul, you're mine, and mine are thine, and thine are mine. Whom I serve. Yes, he did. I serve him. Don't you? Brethren, I do. Not very well, but I do. And he said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now this certainly, most certainly a picture of Christ. He always said to his people, fear not. Remember that time he was asleep in the ship? And they woke him up, and he woke up and rubbed his eyes, and he's in the same ship. He's going through the same tempests. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He got up on the bow of that ship and said, where's your faith? Why don't you just go to sleep? And he rebuked that wind and that sea. You know, Paul, when I say Paul was a man, he was. But the Lord gave these men powers. He raised a dead man. Peter raised a dead man. When, if need be, for the preaching of the gospel. These men had these powers for the preaching of the gospel. Could Paul have stilled that sea? If need be. The Lord said he'd save this mountain and be removed. If need be. If it was for the purpose of the gospel. But now in this sense, in this situation, this storm was for the purpose of preaching that gospel. And the storms of life we go through, the troubles and the trials and the deep waters and the troubles we get ourselves into and troubles God sends that we don't know what they're for. But all of this is so that you will hear the gospel. That's why I say calm waters and calm times and peaceful times and prosperous times. You don't hear the gospel much. You know that? I don't. Do we? Be honest. Do we? Doesn't mean much to you until you feel like all hope is lost. If you feel like all hope is lost, you're going to be listening. Fail to stand up and say, listen! Be of good cheer! Got good news! Boy, you'll be all ears, aren't you? What? You see land? Yeah! We can't see a thing! It's dark! No stars! Sun can't see the sun! Got no sails! No rudder? How in the world can you see the land? I see it far off. By faith. Be of good cheer. This is all about trusting the Lord. Staying in the ship. Be of good cheer. There'll be no loss of life, but the ship. The ship's going to be broken. The ship's going to take you all the way. But the ship will be broken in the process. As I said, old Paul and Aristarchus and Luke were met together praying and singing. And two or three are gathered together. Christ said, I'll be there. And he was. The angel of the Lord came. How did he get on board that ship? Same way he did when Peter and all of them were on that ship and he came walking on the water. Paul wasn't afraid. He knew who it was. He knew him well. He'd been calling on him. And he came. Boy. Verse 26. But he said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God. It'll be even as he told me. God can't lie. Would you hear me? God can't lie. It'll be exactly as He promised. Anyone that trusts Him, there's no one that's ever trusted Him, His promises, that He's failed now. It's perished. Not one. Be of good cheer. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. Stay in the ship. But we're going to be cast upon a certain island. Our Lord said we must, through much tribulation, cast all our care on Him, on Christ alone. An island. So they feared, though. They still were fearful, weren't they? Shipmen. Look at this, verse 30. This is good. Those shipmen, those sailors on board that ship, they were getting out of there. They were getting out of there. And they were going to let that boat down. And they were going to abandon ship. They were going to leave everybody to fend for themselves. They were afraid for their lives too, and they said, "We're getting out of here. We're leaving." A preacher years ago that you know well, esteem highly, and this is not an isolated incident. I know every single preacher has done that. But a preacher you know and esteem well is thinking about quitting, pastor, and he called Brother Mahan, who was still in the ministry at the time, pastor, that is. And he called him and said to him, "Brother Mahan," he said, "you ever think about quitting?" And Dad said, "All the time. All the time. I'm getting out of here. It's too much for me by myself, let alone to try to take care of this ship. All the time." But you know what Paul did? You know what the Lord did? Cut the ropes. They're not leaving. These men were in charge of this ship. And Paul said, "We can't make it. We need these men. If they leave, we can't make it." You may not think you need me. And I tell you what, I need you. Cut the ropes. You're not going anywhere. You're here to stay. You're going to see it out with the rest of us. And they said, "Okay." Went back to work. Went back to work. Day was coming on, verse 33. Starting to get light. Starting to get light. There's light at the end of this story. Starting to get light. And Paul said, verse 33, to everyone, and they'd been fast. They were so fearful. They were so troubled. They were so worried. They were in such sorrows and deep waters that they couldn't eat. They couldn't eat. You've been there. Everybody's been there. Through whatever it may be. Divers' trials, we've all been there. And we'll be again. And they couldn't eat for sorrow, for fear, for worry, for troubles. And they couldn't eat. And Paul said, "Take some meat." Verse 33. "Take meat. You continued this long. This is for your health." Verse 34. "This is for your health. Take some meat." And I know there are people, and we all tend to do it. We get so drowned in our troubles and our sorrows that we forget to, and we go off and hide or something and don't come. Come to worship and hear the thing we need for our spiritual health to get through this thing. I want to take people to talk. You've forsaken your own mercy. Eat. Old Elijah got under that juniper tree feeling sorry for himself, and the Lord sent a raven and said, "Eat. You're going to need this." And again, I'm not preaching at you and with you. I'm in this. I know. I mean, we're in this thing together. I've done it. Get all down in the dumps, feel sorry for yourself, and you forget that thing that you need the most. Eat. Gather with the saints. Eat this bread, this meat. Paul did, verse 35. He said he took bread and gave thanks. They give thanks. What you got to be thankful for, Paul? Everything. Now, I'm not in hell right now. I was before injurious and a persecutor, a blasphemer. I'm the chief of sinners. But God, I tell you, Paul would say, if anybody asked him, well, you got to be thankful for everything this side of hell. And I'm going through less than I deserve. And it's just the mercy of God that I'm alive today. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning. In everything, rejoice in everything, I say. Paul said that. God said that. Give thanks. He gave thanks in the presence of them all. When a man's going through deep waters and troubles, when a woman or whoever, a believer, is going through deep sufferings, and they can come. Some of you all have gone through some deep, deep waters and been here the very next worship service to worship. You know what that did for the rest of us. You know what that did for the rest of us. It strengthened our faith. It's true. All that God said true. Paul gave thanks in the prison. He's a prisoner. He's not free like the rest of them. Ain't he? He's a prisoner. And he broke it in front of all of them. He's the one serving. Look at that. He's a prisoner. He's doing the serving, doing the comforting. And then they were all of good cheer. Verse 36. And they took some meat. And in that ship, they had the exact number of souls. Is that significant? Oh, yeah. The Lord has His people numbered, His elect. He knows them that are here. And verse 38, they ate enough. They all ate. Now, this wasn't a delectable meal. This is sea biscuit. It's full of weevils, hardtack, salt meat. You wouldn't eat it. You wouldn't eat it if it's sitting in front of you right now. But they all thought, this is the best thing you've ever had. And if you're hungry, it can be a bad preacher. There are no bad preachers who preach the truth. And it might not be the best preacher on earth, but buddy, it'll be the best message you've ever heard. If you're hungry enough. They all began to eat that and think, this is wonderful. Wonderful. So glad we got this. Thought we were going to die. Verse 39, then became day. The sun's coming up. Boy, when the sun's coming up. They were waiting all night for this sun coming up. If the sun comes up, oh, they were waiting for the morning more than they that watched for the morning. They were waiting for this, for the sun to come up. And they came to this land. They didn't know what it was, where it was. Verse 38, I left this out. They cast the wheat out in the sea. Didn't the Lord say, cast your bread upon the water? Cast your bread upon the water. You just need enough. They ate food and raiment. The rest of it, cast it out there. He said, you'll see it again after many days. You don't need that. We're not staying here. Can't keep it. Don't keep it. Cast it out there. Let somebody else use it. So they cast all the bread out of that boat. And it became day. They didn't know where they were. And the ship came to this land, verse 40. Verse 4, they took up the anchors, cut the anchors off, the rudder bands, hoisted the mainsail, and made toward shore. Getting close now. Brethren, now is our salvation nearer than when we first began. Some of you are old. Some of you are old. We're all older, aren't we? Much older than we first began. It's not long now. It's just not long at all. Land ho. Land ho. What's your faith up there? Huh? Blow, O mighty wind, upon your garden. Let the spices flow out. We're heading home. And I came to this place where two seas met. I said before, this is mercy and truth. Righteousness and peace meet together. And the ship, the fore part of it, stuck fast and remained unmovable. Brethren, we have a forerunner right now within the veil. The Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this in Hebrews. I had this written down to read, and I'm going to read it because this is a great blessing. It says here, it says, God by two immutable things, His oath, His covenant, He cannot lie. We have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, who's within the veil right now. That's Jesus Christ, our high priest. He's there right now. Be grounded and settled, unmovable, brethren, in the work of the Lord. It says, though the waves broke that boat up. Right before our Lord went within that veil, you know what He did? He had His disciples meet around a table, and He broke bread. And you know what He said? Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Broken for you. I must. So you know how we're saved? By Christ and Him crucified. Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our provider, our keeper, crucified, smitten, wounded, smitten, afflicted. Our sin's substitute, our offering, His blood shed, His death. We're going to be saved alive because He died. Broken for us. And the soldiers, though, wanted to kill the prisoners. These men represent the law, don't they? They're the law. The law says, kill them all. No. No. That ain't going to happen. According to the Word of God. And He gave the command, willing to save Paul. Oh my. The Lord has His people. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in Him. It kept them from their purpose. And He said, those that could swim, cast yourselves into the sea, get to land, and the rest, some on board, some on pieces of the ship. Where am I? At the end here. You cast yourself on the mercy of the Lord, He'll make it safe. If you lay hold of any promise that Christ has made, some of them held this piece, some of them held that piece, it's all peace and ship. If you cast your care, your soul, lay hold of any promise Christ made to you, guarantee you, from His Word, you're going to make it. Great faith. Enoch walked into heaven, didn't it? As it were, swimming. Little faith. Wow. Look all I got to hold on to. Good enough. Little faith. And it says in the end, it came to pass. It came to pass. Just exactly what He said. They were all safe to land. Now that's the record. That's the story. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Stand with me. Our Lord, again, we thank You for Your Word. It is our hope, our help, our comfort, our instruction. All Scripture is given by inspiration of Thee.
profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, the man of God and woman of God might be thoroughly furnished in all good works. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Thank you for your Word. Lord, there's nothing we face that your people haven't been through, and the sure mercies of God, the Word of God, the promises of God have kept them. You have kept them by your Word, by your power. All those that trust in you. Lord, troubles of our own making, troubles and trials you send to test our faith. All these things we believe are your mercy and your grace for us to bring us to thee someday. And we thank you for them all. We ask your forgiveness of our sins. But we sure thank you for Christ and Him crucified. It's in His name we pray and met here. Amen. You're dismissed.